over the next four Sundays, we'll be looking at the Advent season, the coming of the Christ child. And we will start by looking at the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Keep your hand here. Open your Bibles, please, and keep your hand here. This will be my text. And as we read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David or over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Let's pray. Father, we look at a prophecy that was issued more than 600 years before the event actually took place. For 600 years, the Old Testament people puzzled over this prophecy. They clung to this prophecy. They anticipated this prophecy. They longed for this prophecy to be fulfilled. We have the benefit of looking back. They looked into the unknown future. So Lord, I pray you would help us to look at what Isaiah prophesied and see the promise that was made and how it came to pass on that Christmas Eve. Amen. The season of Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming or visit. It begins four Sundays before Christmas and it ends on Christmas Eve. For liturgical churches, of which we are not, Advent is the beginning of the liturgical year, or as it is often called, the church calendar. During Advent, we prepare for, anticipate the coming of Christ. We remember the longing of the Jews for a Messiah, and our own longing for and the need of forgiveness and salvation. Even as we look back and celebrate the birth of Christ, his first coming, we look forward to his second coming as the fulfillment of all that was promised in his first coming. Christ's first advent fulfills a long progression of specific prophecies. We're going to look at four of them over the next 4 weeks. I'm using the same outline each week. Each week there'll be 3 points. Those points are God's promise given, God's pronouncement made, God's plan fulfilled. I used a book of family devotions by Marty Makowski titled Prepare Him Room as a basis for this sermon series. First of all, God's promise given. God's promise given. We read it. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Almost three centuries ago, George Frederick Handel wrote a long musical composition to celebrate God's prophecy through Isaiah to his people. We call it Handel's Messiah. Large portions of the composition were taken directly from the King James Version of the book of Isaiah, including Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, the King James translators chose not to put a comma between the words wonderful and counselor, making it seem that there were five titles given, but actually there are only four, each pointing to Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Even a casual reading of the text contains a mystery. And I am sure Isaiah was perplexed. But this demonstrates the miracle of Scripture, the combination of human and divine authors. Isaiah wrote what the Holy Spirit wanted him to write. The coming Messiah would be a man, a child would be born. He would be a physical human being. A child will be born. He would be a man. He could have been an angel, or he could have been God without taking on humanity, or he could have been created as an adult, but instead he came as a helpless child. For unto us a child is born. A child is born. But you also notice it says a son will be given. The coming Messiah would be God, a son that will be given to us. His humanity started at his birth as a child. But this child was eternal. His existence was eternal. He was already the son who would now be given as a child. He was God the Son, the creator who would enter into his own creation. He will be fully God and fully man. Now these verses 6 and 7, also point to his second advent, when he will come again to establish his millennial kingdom. Verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. So we have God the Son who was given, and a child who was born, fully God and fully man. Now Isaiah, of course, never saw the fulfillment of his words. Almost 7 centuries would pass before the promise would come to pass. Now we get to look back and read God's fantastic promise with the full knowledge of the story of Christmas. You see what an advantage we have. Isaiah made this prophecy, in which no doubt he scratched his head, not understanding it at all. And for 600 years, they also read this prophecy without truly understanding it all. But we have the benefit of looking back and seeing what this promise actually meant. Because some 600 years later, the promise of verse 6 and 7 is announced again, and this time to a young virgin. That brings us to point number 2, God's pronouncement made. God's pronouncement made. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in the sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, no doubt the excitement created when Isaiah first prophesied of this had long worn off. But the promise had not been forgotten, because God had made sure that it was written down. Isaiah said a very special child was to be born and take the throne of David. He said that his government would have no end. He said a child would be born and a son would be given. We see that pronouncement made by Gabriel that it's coming, it's happening. Mary, you're going to have this special child. He will sit on the throne of David forever. The Son of God will be given. A child will be born. Just before, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, just before Isaiah told of that special child, he wrote that something special would happen in Galilee. All right? Again, chapter 9, look at verse 1. "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish," and that's the nation. "In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious." How's he going to do that? "By the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as rich men when they divide the spoil." So in the midst of Israel's gloom, which will take place when the northern kingdom, Zebulun, Naphtali, is carried off by the Assyrians, and then the southern kingdom will eventually also be carried off by the Babylonians, this gloom, this darkness over the land, will be lifted. There will be a light that will come to the nations, and that light will come from Galilee. Sure enough, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, that's where Mary was. In fact, the child would grow up and be called the prophet from Galilee. You can read that in Matthew 21, verse 11, where even his critics and his skeptics acknowledge that he had come from Galilee. So the promise made, announced, was that this coming Messiah would come from Galilee. And we find that that is fulfilled in the pronouncement of Gabriel. Well, thirdly, we have God's plan fulfilled. God's plan fulfilled. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. And he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But But when the fullness of time came, okay, at that right moment in time, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, saying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The Apostle Paul tells us that Gabriel's announcement to Mary was fulfilled at just the right time. Again, verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, it only took about 700 years for the time to be right. For the time to be right. God all along had planned for Jesus to come during a time when the Romans had brought peace to all the land. They had conquered Europe, Asia, Palestine, and North Africa, bringing in the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. At this time of relative peace, which began before Jesus was born and lasted for more than 100 years after his death and resurrection, was just the right time for the Christ child to be born. This time of peace allowed the Romans to build a system of roads so that people could travel from country to country. It also made sure that everyone used one common language, which was Greek. Are you getting the picture? It was on those roads, using the common language of the people, that the disciples of Jesus carried the gospel to the nations. Remember, a light will rise out of Galilee for the nations. God knew just what he was doing. Just what he was doing. God's plan will be fulfilled. God can keep his promises no matter what it takes. If it takes a virgin to have a baby, a virgin will have a baby. If it takes a world power to set the stage, then so be it. If it takes a nearly 700 year delay so that the promise could be fulfilled at exactly the right time, then it can wait. But it will happen. God's promises are sure. You can count on them. Let's pray. Father, we have such an advantage to look back, into history and see prophecy fulfilled. This perplexing prophecy that Isaiah no doubt pondered over to the end of his life, and that Old Testament saints and believers and the nation likewise puzzled over for over 600 years, came to pass. And wonderfully, it came to pass at exactly the right time. At exactly the right time. The rise of the godless Roman Empire, which through the might of its army had conquered its foes and had established and enforced peace, was the perfect environment in which, for which the gospel could spread. That the New Testament, the Gospels, could be written in a language that was common to all people, that the apostles could hit the road and travel to the far reaches of the Roman Empire with the message, and Christ's disciples could carry that message on. Father, you are all wise. And although we often question your timing, we know that your timing is always right. And even though we see promises, yet we think as unfulfilled, those promises will come to pass. And Lord, as we said, even this promise about the Son of David who will reign on the throne awaits the second advent, when Christ will return and will rule on the throne of David. So may our encouragement through seeing the first advent come to reality spur us on in our belief and hope of the second coming, the second advent, we pray. Amen.